Okay, I want to discuss some more things relating to the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. Okay, yesterday we discussed, we're not doing that anymore, we discussed going on Temple Mount. Are you allowed to ascend Bizman Hazeh, the Har Habayis? Okay, so let's go weiter. We did that already yesterday. Let's discuss some other interesting ideas about the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, Rav Meir yesterday opened up a topic of discussion after the Shir. It's a very good topic of discussion very shortly in that, and there's this concept called Tumah Hutra Bitzibur. We are aware that there's a principle, if all of the Kohanim are Tameh, it's okay. You're allowed to bring Korbanos in a state of Tumah. It's a very big dilemma in the Paiskim if the Binyan Beis Hamikdash also fits into that category. In other words, the question is, why can't we, Bizman Hazeh, build the Beis Hamikdash? In fact, years ago, I don't know how many years ago this was, maybe 200-300 years ago, when they uncovered, everyone knows the famous story when the Sultan, he built an office in Yerushalayim and he saw a woman coming to his office with a pile of garbage and she dumped the garbage on the front steps of his office. So he was furious. He grabbed her and he says, "What are you doing? How dare you? You bring your bedpan and all the garbage from your house and you dump it on my office?" So she says, "This is the custom. This is the Minhag Yerushalayim. We bring our garbage to here. What are you talking about?" So he made an investigation. He set up sentries, people, officers to go and in Echanan, people were bringing garbage. What's going on over here? So he made an investigation and he was told that Einochinami, that the Kaisel Hamaravi remained. The Kaisel Hamaravi was never destroyed. Pangar tried to destroy, did not, miraculously, the Shechinah never left from the Kaisel Hamaravi, and it's there. So they tried at least throughout the ages, at least to bury it. At least to bury the Kaisel Hamaravi. How did they bury it? The garbage. They declared this should be the central garbage dump for the entire region, and everyone would bring garbage. And in fact, they paid people money. They paid them money, and they encouraged them, and it became the minhag to bring you garbage. And indeed, the entire Kaisel, this is the tradition, was completely buried. Okay, you go to the Kaisel, it was completely buried in rubble and garbage. And this sultan, this Turkish sultan, he discovered this minhag, and he said, "This is ridiculous." And he then declared, "Adaraba, everyone should participate in cleaning away the rubble." They cleaned away the rubble over a period of time, and the Kaisel Hamaravi reappeared. Now, people don't know the end of the story. The end of the story was he gathered together the Rabbanim, and he said to the Rabbanim, "This is your place. Build the Beis Hamikdash. I give you permission. I'm in charge here. I'm the boss here. Go right ahead. I give you full permission to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash right now." Isn't that awesome? No, there was no mosque. He was in charge. The Sultan, this Sultan is Turkish. He was a Muslim. They were Muslims. I don't know. I'll show you the source. Okay, I got it right here. After the Shia, I'll show you exactly everything. I'm telling you where I took it from. Straight from here. And he gave them permission. He gave them permission to rebuild the Beis. When in history do you have such a thing? When did such a mitzias? Go try that today, right? Go try today to go rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. World War III will break out immediately. And it's been like this for who knows how long. And certainly in the time of the Churban and the time of the Crusades, I mean, every tikkun of history didn't exist such a mitzias where Jews were given permission to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. And guess what the Rabbanim said? "Thank you, but no thank you. We're not interested. Because it's just too complicated for us to do. We're not ready for it. We don't have a Shiach, we don't have this, we don't have that, whatever. Today, if someone would come and tell us that we will give us the Beis Hamikdash, for some reason they have a feeling World War III would break out amongst us. Not amongst the Goyim, amongst the Haredim and the Mizrachim and the Tzionim. Should we not? How should we do it? Where should we do it?" World War III would break out amongst us if we should proceed in taking them up on the offer. I have no doubt about it that a major chunk of Orthodox Jewry would say that's right. Let's go.
That was part of the dance of the Six-Day War, that the Kaisel beat was one piece. It wasn't divided among Chassidim and
Litvak.
That's the big dance. Okay,
so what would be if we would be given permission? Now, Trump actually said this in the Tzibon. I think he said this recently. He says something about rebuilding the temple. In his eyes, what's so terrible? If Yerushalayim belongs to the Jews, and it's theirs, and if we can get rid of the Arabs from the, make some peace treaty and let them have them leave. In his eyes, it's all a matter of money, right? And the great negotiator, if he can persuade them, he'll give them a piece of real estate somewhere else. Give it to the Jews and let the Jews build the temple. Why not? Trump, he thinks like that. He thinks very grand, very, you know, we need someone that's a very, why not? He's right. Let's make a peace deal with the Arabs. Get out of there. We'll go build you a new mosque somewhere else. And let the Jews build the temple. What's the problem? You can build Trump Towers, so you can build a temple also.
He wants to start in Mexico.
Maybe he does want a contract, whatever it is. It'll be good for business. Build the temple. What would we say? We wouldn't know what to do ourselves. We would be so confused. We would be so confused. Build a temple? What? Oh, so what's one of the issues? So what is one of the issues? Is we're all Tamei Meis. We don't have a Paraduma. So let's search for a Paraduma. I mean,
you go.
We'll do an international search
yesterday
for a Paraduma. What?
Yesterday we said you can go.
No, you can go into the Machane Levia, but not Machane Shechina. Machane Shechina is the real part of the Beis Hamikdash. That's the Beis Hamikdash. The whole Beis Hamikdash is Machane Shechina. Everything, the Temple Mount, is just Machane Levia. We don't go today. No one goes today to Machane. Some people told me to explain, they don't even go to Machane Levia today. The people who go on the Temple Mount, they don't even go to Machane Levia because they hold that Machane Levia is only 500 Amos. By 500 Amos, and the expansion, there were two expansions. There was an expansion during the time of the Chashmonoim, and there was an expansion during the time of Hordas. There were two known expansions of the Har Habayis. And there's a very big dilemma. Did the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, give the expanded area Kedushas Machane Leviah? So many will argue there are so many different reasons that combined together, so many snifim, is that we have a right to assume they did not. They did not give the expanded area the kedusha of Machane Levia. So the only real Machane Levia was the original Machane Levia, which is 500 Amos by 500 Amos. So if you go today on Temple Mount and you don't even go in that area, you can keep your shoes on, you can wear, you have your wallet, you can walk there, you can take pictures, you do whatever you want, because you're not even entering. There's no difference between that area and the coastal plaza. It's not even Machane Levia. Machane Levia is only 500 Amos by 500 Amos. And then you'll add the Ravid. The Ravid holds that even if it is Kodosh, there's no, anyway, it's bottle, bo pritzim v'chalaluha. You want to be Machmil, yes, I say, so you go to Mikvah. That's how a lot of these kulois come about. You start combining together and make a chalent, and start combining everyone's leniencies, so it becomes very kal to go to the Temple Mount, which is not an approach, obviously, for people who are very serious in these matters, but whatever, people do all different types of things. So therefore, we would not, mamish, not know what to do with ourselves if such a thing would happen. More trouble, it's not so unreasonable. If he moved the embassy to Yerushalayim in lightning speed, whoever imagined in lightning speed, he says he's going to do it, and he did it. He'll go make a peace negotiation, sending his son Kushner. I love the title in Ami magazine. Kushner is head to head the peace initiative, the peace deal with the Arabs, and the title is "When Kush comes to shove." When Kush comes to shove, to shove down a peace treaty, a peace agreement with the Arabs. And who's going to implement this peace negotiation? His son-in-law, Kushner. When Kush comes to shove. It's a good pun. Ami magazine. Turks. Kush comes to shove. So what would we do?
Machane
Yisrael is the whole Yerushalayim, the old city. The old city, some will tell you the new city as well, but not likely, because even the new city has to give Kedusha. You have to give it Kedusha. No one ever gave the Ramada Kedusha. So you can't go and eat your Karm Pesach in the Ramada. You have to eat the Karm Pesach in the walls of the old city until Mashiach will come, and maybe when Mashiach will come, they'll go and they'll give Kedusha to the new city, the whole Eretz Yisrael, maybe even the whole question: how do you do it? We know how to do it. Nehemiah did it. You have to take the Tokar and Toida. You have to march. There's a technique in how you can give new kedusha. Question: so here's the problem. It's a shocking story. The Sultan said, "It's all yours. Go right ahead. Build the Beis Hamikdash." It's amazing they turned him down. It's amazing in hindsight. It's shocking.
Do we know who the rabbis were?
I don't think so. I don't. This whole story, Bechlal, is a very vague, it's a very sketchy story that it was actually buried under rubble, garbage. They took away the garbage. It's a famous story, but is there any really documented proof that it ever really happened? Is there any proof this whole thing? Yeah, there is, but Ad Kedei Kach, the Kaisel was invisible, it was completely buried, and they took away all the rubble, and then at the end of the story is even more shocking. He told the Rabbanim, it's all yours, go build the Beis HaMikdash. And they tell him, no thank you. Why no thank you? So we don't have the whole story behind it, but one of the problems that really is an issue is that we're all Tumei Meis. We have to make an international search for a perfectly red paro to do the paraduma. Who maybe we can. Maybe we can have a. We can maybe engineer it on our own DNA. You know, you can have all these people make all these chachamim who can go. Maybe what's so terrible if we would engineer our own paraduma? Well, in a molecular level, if they can decide today, scientists claim they make today. You have a choice. You want a boy or a girl? You want him to, what color hair do you want? And they're already doing experiments by taking out certain different parts of the DNA which are prone to cause disease. They wash the genes. So who says we can't take, is it halakhically wrong for us to wash the genes, I'm using that term loosely, to engineer a paraduma, a perfectly red cow? Why should that be usur? Show me where it says that it's usur. It's not natural, but is it really usur? Maybe, I don't know, I'm just throwing out it. I don't know if the Hasidim would be very happy with doing that. Maybe they would. Why not? What's the difference doing it like that? So if we would do this, paraduma, then we'd be in business. But in those days, they weren't in the business of engineering paradumas. They didn't have it. And they basically held that binyan based hamigdash must be done b'tahara. Oh, but what about the law of Tumah, Chutra, B'tzibur? Just build the Beis HaMikdash, do the Avodah until we have a Paraduma. So this is a very big, very big sugya, which I have time for, and that is, although we know in the Gemara, all of the Shas, that Tumah, Chutra, B'tzibur, that's only for Avodah. Whoever said Tumah, Chutra, B'tzibur goes so far to say that it's Chutar for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Many places can say flat out that it's not. It has to be built with Tahara. Question is a very big question because the Gemara says Beferish, Mamish, Beferish, or Gemara, that when they did work in the Kodesh HaKodesh, in the Heichel in the Kodesh, you should bring only Kohanim should do the repairs. When they needed to do repairs in the Heichel in the Kodesh HaKodesh, they would lower them down on ropes, not to be nene, and who should be the ones, the workers? Kohanim, Miyuchasim. Let's say they don't have Kohanim, then they can bring in even Kohanim Bali Mumim. Let's say they can't find a Kohen, they need Yisraelim, and then the Gemara says, Afilu Tmeim. Even if the only ones that have the expertise to do the Malacha are people who are Tomei, they can do it. What? Maybe even Goyim. Goyim are not Tomei, Yishno. Goyim are not Tomei. Goyim do not become Tomei, not Torah. So what do you see from this? You see that Tumah is permitted even when it comes to the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a very big kasha. What's the answer to that kasha? They're not building, they're repairing. Ein edoyme repair maintenance to the actual construction.
To bring the supplies,
not to actually assemble it and to build it together. So therefore, yeah.
Is that why we have this chazal that says that the bayis shlishi will be come down prefabricated?
No, not necessarily. There's a nice shingle that goes on. Okay, now let's go weiter. Then there's the middle ground. This is the middle ground. The middle ground is, the third opinion is, no. The truth is, Mikardin, you can learn from the Gemara that the word, there's no difference between making repairs and building for the first time. However, this is a very big chiddush, and that is the binyan hamizbeach cannot be through, has to be through betahara. That has to be betahara. You can have the avoida for sure can be done betumah, and you can even build a beis hamigdash betumah. But the mizbeach, when you bring the korbanos, that's the center of the beis hamigdash. That's the avoida, the mizbeach. That has to be done by people who are tar. You learn this from the Chashmonaim. By the Chashmonaim, so there you have to go to the whole story. They demolished the Mizbeach. They demolished and they built a new Mizbeach. Why did they demolish the Mizbeach? Because the Mizbeach was Tameh. Why was it Tameh? They offered Avodah Zarah. The use of Avodah Zarah. It was Mechubal Karka. Why is it? What's the problem? It's Mechubal Karka. It's not Mechabal Tumah. Yeah, I don't know the details, but there the fact that the whole Yontif of Chanukah is all centered on the word Chanukas HaMizbeach, and the entire Yontif of Chanukah is all about Tahara, about the Shemen they wanted B'daf Hashem that's Tahar. Part of the Chanukah miracle is the rebuilding of the Mizbeach. Oz Egmar B'Shir Mizmer Chanukas HaMizbeach. The Mashmois of the Sugyos of Chanukah. You have to delve into this. I don't have the details for you. Is that the Mizbeach was rebuilt by Kohanim who were Tohoirim. Because even though you may argue that the Avodah can be done B'tumah, and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which is a dilemma, can be done B'tumah, but not the Binyan HaMizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. That has to be done B'tahara. So we got a problem. So if Trump would negotiate a deal to get them out of there and give us the Beis HaMikdash and have us build the Beis HaMikdash, we may very well be able to rebuild the whole Beis HaMikdash, but there's one thing we're going to have to wait for until we find the Parah Aduma, and that is the Mizbeach. And we're not going to be able to sacrifice until we get that Mizbeach up and running, and that might have to be done with Tahara, and we'll have to somehow engineer a Parah Aduma or go on an international search, offer reward money, $1 million, anyone can bring us a Parah Aduma. And it's not so far-fetched, because in the news, every couple of months, they stopped already this game. It's like a game almost. It used to be a game. Every year they would say, we found the Parah Aduma, and they would send out a film crew, and they would show the Parah Aduma, and they would bring it to all the Rabbanim, and the Rabbanim would look, yeah, Taka, it's a Parah Aduma. And then what happened to it? You never heard about it again, this Parah Aduma. Why not? Probably because some of those red hairs turned white, or probably someone sat down upon it, did avoid it with it. But it's not so far-fetched. It's not so far-fetched that we can produce a Parah Aduma. Okay, so all of these things are a lot more. We'll do Misham, do tomorrow some more.
Ben Koresh ordered to make Beit HaMikdash. They prepared in Bernatame.
What?
Koresh ordered to make Beit HaMikdash. They prepared Bernatame.
Koresh, they were not Tame. They had Parah Aduma. They had Parah Aduma.